Hi, and welcome to the Happy Lawyer Podcast with me, your host, Catherine Shearer. I am a mom, a wife, a dog mama, a daughter, a sister, a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, as well as a wellness enthusiast. I have started this podcast because I have suffered from stress and anxiety, and I seriously considered leaving law. But when I got clear on what it is that I wanted out of my career, made some big changes, I discovered that law doesn't have to be depressing, anxiety-producing, or permanently high stress. And I didn't have to be another woman that left the profession. So this podcast is intended to get the conversation started and to keep it going when it comes to the issues of lawyers and mental health, attrition rates in the profession, and the advancement of women in law.
Hi, Misty. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm very excited about today's chat with you. So can you just introduce yourself to us?
Oh, sure. Of course. So my name's Misty Lucas, and I am a life coach and a restorative yoga educator. So my background, though, was actually in personal injury law, and I left that field probably about almost 5 years ago and became a yoga teacher. And I've done now about over 1,000 hours of training, 2,000 hours of teaching. And I started teaching people to be yoga teachers, and then COVID came along and I decided to kind of upgrade and started doing life coaching. And so now I blend two of my passions of life coaching and restorative yoga together. So in order to help, and I work mostly with women, with autoimmune or chronic stress in their lives, just because of my own experience, and really just try to help them find a little bit better balance and be able to release some of these shoulds that we all carry and give a different perspective on living life and trying to find more joy.
Amazing. Why don't we start by talking a little bit about what your experience was like when you were back in law?
Okay, sure. So I started as a legal assistant. So I was in law for almost 20 years, and I started as an assistant. And then pretty much the last 12 or 13 years, I've sort of lost touch with how many years it was, but I worked in personal injury in a small boutique firm. And I was a licensed paralegal for most of that time. And so I did a lot of work with clients who had motor vehicle accidents, who had difficulties with insurance companies, whether it's like disability claims. I would do CPP hearings. And it's very busy practice, personal injury, if people are familiar with that. I mean, I think all practices of law are very busy and stressful. But being a boutique firm, it was a small team, which was amazing. But it was a lot of client contact and always go, go, go. So I worked many, many hours beyond 9 to 5. I remember I really got into a groove. 4 a.m. was my time to respond to a lot of emails. So I'd always work as soon as I'd get up and remembering working when I got home. So I didn't really find a lot of time, downtime. And any downtime I had, I remember it was very much, I would do like high energy workouts, hot yoga, running, things like that. So constantly keeping my body in this high state. And so I loved it. I loved law, thought I'd be in it forever. And then things changed. And I ended up getting sick. So I ended up leaving after I recovered and realized that it wasn't a space for me anymore.
Yeah, so tell us about that. How was the stress of the legal environment? How did that impact your illness and kind of how did that play out?
I really feel that in the moment, like as I was in it, I don't know that I realized I was living in a chronic state of stress. It's really about what I've learned, and I do reflection, like doing a lot of reflecting on. Mm-hmm. But definitely I would be quick to anger. So I could say that I'd get quickly frustrated. It was always very, I don't know if combative is the word, that might be too hard of a word, but it was always very adversarial, which I think played into sort of that stress levels and wanting to make sure that things were going right for the client. And it like I wouldn't sleep well. I totally own I was lover of wine. That would really put me to sleep at night. So there was a lot of turning to substances to help me sleep, like mostly wine. It impacted my relationship, my husband, like my marriage. And it was because it was a constant, like you were always on, always connected, always needing to do something, always fear of missing a deadline, fear of screwing something up or saying the wrong thing, or all the changes in law that have like in the Insurance Act. And there's always this sort of like this underlying fear or dread that something was gonna like a ball would drop. I remember as I was actually doing a workshop this week, and I remember feeling in law that there was always so many balls in the air, and if I ever took a moment to pause or relax or just breathe, I was afraid a ball would drop, right? So it was always about keeping this state of stress, always worrying, is what I remember as I reflect back on it.
And then you were diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder.
Yes, I was diagnosed in 2011 with rheumatoid arthritis. So I was in my mid-30s at that time, and it started the year before. It took a while to get the diagnosis, but I had swelling in my joints. I stopped being able to walk. I remember Derek had to help me get out of bed and walk me down the stairs, and I was always fatigued. Like I never appreciated what fatigue meant until I went through my own experience with my diagnosis, and I really just cried all the time. I just felt like my body was rejecting me, and there was pain all the time, and emotionally I was distraught. So, and that happened in about 2011. So,
And what was your recovery journey like?
I kept pushing. So when I started having symptoms and I totally ignored them, I was like, no, I'll get through this. And I pushed them away. And then I got diagnosed, and it was in that moment I was sitting in the doctor's office and I decided I need to go off work. So it was the first thing I did was I stopped working, and I really tried to figure out how can I fight this? Like I still was in this fight mode. I'm like, I'm going to beat this, and this isn't going to be my life or my story. And I hired a personal trainer, and I was doing all these crazy things when I look back at it. And so I was off work, and really all I could do was sleep. I went on some pretty heavy medications, and which made me even sicker. But they were the only thing that was helping kind of bring the flare out of my joints. And then I started to not be able to even see the trainer because the pain was still there. And I landed on a yoga mat one day. And the teacher, bless her heart, was so kind and said, Misty, if you only breathe and lay on your mat, you're doing yoga. And I was like, that sounds like such crap. But I did it. And I felt so much better. And it was coming into some stillness. And coming into the silence, I was like, okay. I walked out of that class and I'm like, there's something here. And then I started to look, and I learned more about restorative yoga, and I started to do it, and I started to feel way better. I got out of the gym. I just stopped going to the gym. And I just took this path of really starting to quiet my mind, coming into some meditation, and then I started to feel better, and I started to feel more better, like better and better. And I did go back to work. I did go back to law, started off slow and got back to full time, but then I went back into a flare. And that was really my cue. That was like my body saying, you need to find something else. So I joined up for a yoga training, just thinking that that would help me implement it even more steadily in my life. And when I took that training, I was like, oh my God, I have to share this with the world. And that was really when I decided to walk away from law.
And was that a really difficult or easy decision for you to make?
It was difficult because it did take me a few years. It didn't happen overnight. It did take me a few years. There was a lot of fear wrapped up in that. There was a lot of self-doubt. There was a lot of guilt, right? Because I had been at this firm for so long, and it was really a part of my life, and I just had this guilt and fear of walking away from that. And then it was a part of that, like, who am I to walk away and teach yoga? But ultimately, it was the best thing that I could have done. So, no
Did
regrets.
you, did you find that you had some issues because your identity was kind of wrapped up in that former life?
I think that definitely, Catherine, that's such a great question. And it's a great question because I think that was built into a bit of that fear was that was my life. That was who I had sort of, that's how I saw myself was working and being a part of this team. And if I left that, who was I actually going to be? Could I do it on my own? And how would I still be of service to people if I was just teaching yoga? So I had a lot of growth that I had to do, but there was really this deep yearning inside of me that knew I had to leave. So I followed that.
That's amazing. And I think it is, it's just, those first steps, and you probably wouldn't have thought that you would be where you are now when you took that first step.
No. I didn't, not at all. It was a scary, scary first step. I'm very grateful that Derek was fully supportive. He's like, just do it. It'll be fine. And then I had a great community around me of people who supported me and gave me a lot of opportunity to grow and to learn and do a lot of this work. So I was very fortunate.
And what have you learned about stress management since leaving?
So what I really learned is the effects of chronic stress. So, like I had said at the beginning, sort of when I reflect back on how I was living, the not realizing that I was always in a state of stress and understanding how chronic stress is impacting our nervous system. So, really getting into breaking down, living in that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, I think a lot of people hear about, and that's releasing these like hormones, like we're meant to have stress. So it's really kind of understanding we're meant to have stress. Our bodies are amazing and they built to manage stress, but we're meant to also be able to come out of stress into this parasympathetic nervous system. And we're meant to have this resilient nervous system, but when we get into this chronic state of stress and we're always in this fight or flight, we have these hormones that are constantly being dumped in, right? The cortisol, the adrenaline, and we get into this loop. It's like the HPA excess, and it's constantly flooding our system, which then becomes corrosive to the body. And the other piece to that is when we're in a chronic state of stress, there's certain systems that turn off, like our digestive system turns off, our immune system, our reproductive system. Because it's trying to make sure that we have all the resources we need to keep us safe. Like that's what our sympathetic nervous system is meant to do. But if we're always have it turned on, we always have these systems turned off because it thinks we need to be safe. It's like there's a threat, and we're always trying to be safe. So living in that state, it kind of messes up all of our systems. And then we start to lose the ability to hear the messaging from our body. Because our body's sending us messages saying, hey, something's wrong, something's wrong. But when you're in a high state of alert, everything's wrong, right? Everything seems wrong to the body and it can't decipher it. So you no longer really pick up. You lose that body and mind connection, or it becomes filtered or hindered. And that's when you can start to get dis-ease into the body and start to become unhealthy. So I really learned all about that, and it was the kind of understanding the nervous system that tweaked me to start to be like, okay, so this is what happened, or a part of it.
And I can certainly say that there were many years of my career where it was a permanent state of fight or flight, and that really is not sustainable. And that's kind of what led me to realize that I needed to make some changes about how I was practicing, because that's not any way to live.
No. And I mean, my experience and my perception, and so definitely other people could have different experiences, but I feel like in the area of law I was in, it was sort of perpetuated that there's only one way to do it, and if you don't do it this way, you're not doing it right. And that was go, go, go all the time. And I've watched you and I've heard about your journey, and I think it's amazing that you made it work for you, which is so awesome, which is like your gift to be able to share that with the world and say, hey, there is another way, and this was the way I chose to do it. So I think
Well,
that's
thank
great.
you. It definitely made a big impact because I certainly wouldn't still be practicing law if there was no other way to do it. Because that was, very unpleasant. And I mean, it's still difficult. There's still times where you fall back into the go, 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 high stress. You realize that you're not paying attention to the warning signs, and you kind of have to bring yourself back in and listen and find stillness and do all of those things. But as long as you can remember to do those things, it makes it for a much smoother journey.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've now started doing some coaching with other people, and you're helping them manage their autoimmune and stress to be productive, even within high stress or high demand careers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I'm working with people, it's really about starting to find out where sort of where they're at, and if they have an autoimmune, like what are their symptoms, what are their flares like. And so we spend time sort of reflecting and getting kind of really tuned in, like what's going on, like what is it that's triggering you, because sometimes when you're in it, it's hard to see it. So in like when I'm coaching somebody, it's like really getting in and narrowing and saying, okay, what is it that's triggering the flare? Let's take a look at that. And then I will blend in like offering some meditations, breath work, things that they can kind of pick up in an instant to be able to calm the nervous system, because I think that's the first step is like calming that nervous system, pulling them out of that fight or flight. And then looking at goals, like what is it that you want to see in your life? How do you want to see a day? Like what's your perfect day? And can we walk through that together? And how can we implement that? And one of the big things I've found has been coming up in coaching is boundaries. It's really helping people look at boundaries within themselves and then how they want to set boundaries in their life, in family, in work, and then helping them be able to navigate that and set them with like loving compassion, right? Without having all of that adversarial thing, sort of interactions, but being able to express themselves and be able to get clear on what is your boundary, what does it need to be, and how can we implement that? Because that can really help decrease stress and decrease flares that come up.
Boundaries are very important. I recently, I think, well, I guess it's not that recent anymore. Last February, gave a talk to OTLA about setting boundaries in your practice and how important that is. But it's not just within your practice because there is a lot of people that you do need to set boundaries with at work, whether it's, inside your organization or with your own clients. Often it's with your own clients. As any personal injury lawyer will know, most of their conflict comes from their own clients. And obviously, there are conflicts when you're dealing with opposing counsel and that kind of thing, but mostly it is conflicts with your own clients. And to be able to set those healthy boundaries, you first need to know what they are. And in order to know what your boundaries are, you need to figure out all of those things that you had just mentioned in terms of what you want your days to look like, how you want it to flow. It could be something very little from setting your schedule so that you, like for me, definite morning person, I don't want a mediation that starts at 2 p.m. It's not going to go well. The earlier, the better, in my opinion. That's a little example of how you can implement a boundary in your own practice. Or it can be, when you're working with a really difficult client and they just, won't accept that level of boundary, you have to make some consequences and walk through it and enforce those things. But that's not just it. You have to have boundaries at home with your family and every aspect of life or it's not going to run smoothly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because sometimes the work starts with what are your boundaries for yourself? Because sometimes people don't even look inward to see, like, it's like, how are you treating yourself? Because that can really be a reflection on how people treat you. So, do you hold yourself accountable? Do you hold yourself, when you create a boundary for yourself, do you stick to it? right? Or do you let your, like, so if you said that you're a morning person, right? And so somebody who doesn't have good boundaries within themselves might just allow their morning routine to go to the wayside to make sure that they do something else for someone else, if that makes sense, right? So it's, do you
Absolutely.
stick to your, like, how are your boundaries within yourself? And then that it makes it, once you kind of get that within you, you can start to, okay, so I keep my word to myself, and now I'm going to start to bring that outward.
Yes, and I think that can be one of the most difficult boundaries to set is with yourself, because especially people in the legal profession, they like to please others. And it
Exactly.
and when you're a junior, it's very hard to be able to stick up for yourself and set those boundaries. So you often find yourself in a position where you're agreeing to things that you know you should probably, in your best interest, you shouldn't agree to, but you do it anyways. And that I think is a really important piece, is being able to hold those boundaries with yourself. And I know that that morning person example, for me, I have agreed to do the 2 p.m. mediation, knowing full well that's not a good start time for me, that it's not when I'm going to show up as my best. There's so many things that happen during the day in the law practice that by the time you get to 2 p.m., you're probably sidetracked and thinking about something else. But in I can remember one clear example. I agreed to that, and it was only for the purpose that everybody else was available at that time. There were other times that people were all available, but that was like the first one that was suggested. So I was just like, okay, fine, we'll do it. Knowing with that bell ringing in the back of my mind, going, that's not going to work out well. Several months later, when the mediation rolled around, the whole day was a disaster. And the tech didn't work properly. People were late. It didn't end up starting until almost 4 o'clock. And it just kind of spiraled. And it was one of those things that it wasn't a very pleasant experience for anybody involved. It didn't settle, surprisingly. Not because of anything that could or couldn't have been done. It was one of those mediations where they showed up with no money anyways. But the whole process was a waste of time and energy for everybody involved. And I left with a migraine. So by the time I got home, I went straight to bed. I didn't practice, I didn't participate. I mean, in the bedtime routine, I barely said goodnight to my son, and I just had to go sit in a dark room. Knowing that could have all been avoided if I had just stuck with what I know works for me.
Yeah, that's a great example.
And so that was the last time I agreed to
Yeah.
do that. Sometimes it takes a few times to learn your lesson.
Yeah, and that's the thing with boundaries, right? That's why I feel like coaching is helpful, because if you're new to trying to set boundaries and you're trying to find your footing or how to communicate boundaries, it's daunting, right? And it can bring up a lot of fear. It can bring up a lot of resistance, right? Especially like your ego can pop in and like tell us, okay, don't, like, everything's fine at work. Don't be rocking the boat, right? When you're wanting to assert yourself. And so that's where I find coaching. You've got somebody there to support you, who's got your back, who's going to help you navigate this and help you find a way through it, without just throwing your arms up and feeling like there's no way through it.
What are a few other tips to be productive in a high stress environment?
So I would say, which I always say, if anyone ever hears me speak, is the breath. It's always taking a moment and notice where your breath is at. Your breath will tell you if you are sort of in that state of fight or flight. Your breath is going to give you information about what's going on. And if you just take a moment and become aware of your breath, if you're feeling like something's coming up, or you're feeling anxious about something, or it's like you're feeling really overwhelmed about something, if you just say, I just need to breathe for a moment. If you just take 5 minutes to be aware of your breath, it doesn't even have to be like a special breath practice or a pranayama practice. It can just be noticing your inhalations and your exhalations. It can just be noticing where is the breath going into the body. It can be just taking that few moments, and you'll start to calm yourself and clear your mind, because you're going to get out of those racing thoughts when you start to connect your body and mind to your breath. Like, that's really what the breath does, is it takes you out of that state of stress. So I always recommend the first thing to do is notice your breath. Just become aware of your breath. Another thing I would always recommend is get outside for some fresh air. Like, take the time to get outside, whether it's at lunch or just, you know, get outside and take a deep breath of fresh air and get away from the desk and away from the screen, so that you're able to sort of get out of that spinning of the mind. And or if you're feeling tired or fatigued, as I know I would do this when I worked in law, I would just sit and stare at the screen trying to do work, like something was magically going to happen, but no energy would come in. Had I just gotten out and gone for a walk, then that can help kind of boost your energy levels. It can make you feel a little better and bring you back into the present moment. So it's just taking time for you to reconnect to your body and into the present moment, and then everything can start to come a little clearer.
Do you ever get any pushback from someone in a demanding, high achieving career when you say, focus on your breath?
I don't have time to do that, Misty. But it really doesn't take long. It doesn't take long to focus on your breath. And it's, once you find your breath, it really does make a shift. I get pushback a little sometimes of that's a bit hair, like airy fairy, but it's not, because it is so powerful, and it does come from a place of mind and body connection, right? Like, and that's really become a bigger thing with meditations and that. And definitely I would recommend meditation, but I have a hard time with meditation. I have a hard time quieting my mind, but what always does it for me is my breath. It will always calm me. It will always bring me back to center so that I can refocus and be more productive. So when I get that pushback, I'm like, just try it and then go back to work and see how you feel, because it does shift your focus and you get out of those thoughts that you're spinning around in your mind, and you're able to see things a little differently. It gives you a different perspective once you calm down and come into the present moment.
I know when I think it was my naturopath that had recommended in trying to reduce some of the stress in that fight or flight response, was a couple times a day, just whether you're having a good day or a bad day or whatever it is, maybe it was three times a day for a minute or two, breathe in slowly to the count of four, hold it for 2 seconds, breathe out five, hold it for 2 seconds. And I was like, that's crazy. I'm never going to do that. That just seems so silly. And she did the same thing. She's like, just try it and see how you feel. And it's instant. It literally changes how you feel instantly if you do that for even just a minute, 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know. Like, when I started teaching yoga, I did private clients. I worked with people who'd been in automobile accidents, and it was the first thing I always taught them was their breath. Like, we would do breath practices, and the next time I would see them, they would always be so amazed because they'd actually be able to sleep. It would calm them enough that they'd be able to find rest. So it's just so powerful. And we all breathe, but we breathe unconsciously because our bodies help us breathe. Do it automatically and we don't have to think about it, but it's when we get connected to it and bring awareness to it that the power, that's where the power lies.
It definitely is. It helps more than you would ever think, and one of the reasons why I asked that question is I remember old Missy, and I have a hard time believing if someone told you to just do your breath work that you would have complied immediately.
It's been a journey, Catherine. I'm the first to always own that. This did not, I know, I run into people and they're like, who are you? I'm like, I know. So, but it, because it's been so life-changing for me, like my health is better. I I don't take any medications. I haven't had a flare in years. It's like I just yeah, it's just been so life-changing for me that that's why I feel the need to share it with people.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important. Managing stress, no matter what you're doing or how you're doing it, is really, really important. And it can be really easy to forget. So you can have as many good intentions as you want, but until you really nail down your practice and really implement it into a lifestyle, it can come and go for a while. And I know that that's something that I definitely still struggle with, is committing to it. And I was one of those people who were absolutely religious with self-care routine until I had a child. And all of a sudden, you don't have time, because time is no longer your own at all. It's either the child's time or work time. And finding that space for yourself after a change, which doesn't necessarily have to be a child, it could be a move, a new job, any of those things, life events. Reworking it into your life. Coming from someone that forgot how to do that for a while, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, and I always say, like I always say to my clients that it's not about perfection. It's like it's a practice. And part of that practice is really it's like hand to heart and having self-compassion, right? It's just like I've got this and okay, I've got away from that for a while, but I know that it does me good. I'm going to come back to it now, right? It's trying not to judge ourselves or getting stuck in that I need to have this perfect routine all the time. It's a practice and it's one that's worth bringing in.
Absolutely. For me, it's definitely when I start noticing, you're grumpy, you're easily irritated, you're starting to feel tired all the time, everybody's getting on your nerves. The window of tolerance that you would normally have has evaporated. So anything that comes in at you, it's like overstimulation. And then you can always reflect back and go, oh yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since, I took time for myself. And it's funny that I'm back at that feeling that I don't want to feel.
Yeah, and that's amazing that you have that awareness, right? And that's really all I really want to help clients with is having that awareness, right? Being able to pause and say, "Hey, that's what's missing," right? Because that's when the change happens, right? That's when we're able to when we start to tap in and notice, "Oh, yep, that's all happening right now." So what's different? Oh, I haven't done my self-care. That's what I need to go to.
And so, aside from breathing, and obviously yoga is a big part of your life, what are some other little things that you do, daily or weekly to take care of yourself?
Daily, I do a gratitude journal. So I just take a moment to really feel grateful and write down, but really just feel it. Like bring in the gratitude of, and sometimes, if it's a busy day, it might be more surface, but it's really getting my mindset around being grateful for what I have. And then some days it can go deeper, right? If there's challenges, oh, well, I'm grateful for that challenging client because I'm learning and growing in this moment, right? And I think it's important too for me to journal, like to do some free writing, just allow myself to get my thoughts out of my head onto paper and not even necessarily read it, but just sit down and write so that I can release whatever I'm sort of spinning about, whatever's racing through my thoughts, like my mind, and getting it out and onto paper, and then I'm able to close the book and move forward. So I tend to do that more like in the evenings, but in the morning it's definitely a gratitude practice, and I'm always like I get outside every day for a walk in the woods, so nature's really important to me.
Me too. Walking outside is always something that makes everything all better.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It really does.
Well, thank you so much for joining me here today. There was a lot of really important and useful information that you shared with us.
Thank you, Catherine. It was so amazing to reconnect, and thank you for having me on your podcast.
You're very welcome.
So that's all for today's show. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please rate and review the show to help others find this resource. If you have any questions about your legal career, please head over to thehappylawyer.ca and send me an email through the contact page, or you can send me a message on LinkedIn. I'd be happy to set up a virtual coffee date. You can also head over to the Happy Lawyer Facebook group to interact with your peers and get extra content on how to be a happy lawyer. See you next time!